This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Gorgeous day out there. So Patrick Clark is the anchor of Channel 11 News at 7. He's done a lot of stuff in town. You may know him from that. You may know him from his music. And then our mutual friend, Julie Lally, mentioned that he was a fan of the show. And I'm like, shut the hell up. I love him. And I really do. As I've said many times, I'm a local news nerd. And I watch Chambers in the morning. And I'll watch Cusimano in the evenings. And I'll watch CNN from 6 to 7, but at 7, I'm like, oh, that's right. And I go over because I love the local news. I love your guys' product.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Good job.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate what you do.
Thank you for having me. I'm very flattered and honored to be here. Yeah. No, it's great. And I love you guys. You guys were talking about your scary movies and the jump scenes, and you guys mentioned Signs. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the best.
Yeah.
not to get off topic, but I was listening the other day. I was like, oh, yeah. So I'm glad somebody mentioned Signs when you were talking about scary movies.
Yeah. Isn't this show the most, like, happy hour show?
Totally.
It's just like a bunch of people hanging out. And,
yeah. And, well, a lot of times I'm driving because I'll turn a story for 4 or 5 or 6 and then go back to the station and get ready and do the 7. So a lot of times I'm listening as I'm driving around and find myself laughing as I'm pulling up to go do the story. I was like, okay, I got to compose myself here.
That's awesome. I've only had 2 bosses, thankfully, and they've both been great. But when they try to give me notes or advice, and I'll say, part of it's just being stubborn, but I'll say, look, here's the deal. With this show, it's... the only thing we really have is how genuine and organic it is.
Yeah.
And because it's genuine and organic, sometimes it sucks. Like, right? Like all things genuine and organic, good marriages, good friendships, yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't land. And that's, I would much rather have a show like that than, hey, everybody, you know, everything scripted and everything. This is when you laugh, then Rachel, you're going to come in with this. Yeah. Like, I've just never had any interest in that.
Did I just miss my cue?
You did. Yeah. I'm going to need you to be a little better with this next time.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud of the fact that we are just buddies hanging out, and then we invite, 100,000 other buddies to join us.
Well, I think it comes across. It's a very intimate thing, radio, more so than television, you know, I feel. Don't you? You make a connection with people. It's an aural connection that I don't know how to explain it, but...
Well, tell us your story. I don't know your origin story, as it were.
Grew up around the Midwest. Mm-hmm. We Indiana and Illinois and Iowa, and came here in high school to Belleville and wound to Althoff.
Nice.
I figured just before we, you know.
Get it out
before
there.
Before anybody asks you.
Yeah, get it out there.
Where'd you go to high school?
Went to BAC, now it's Southwestern. Mm-hmm. Went to Edwardsville. And I played. We lived in a bunch of little towns growing up, and always played in bands and would play sports. And those two things, like if I could find those people, I'm like, all right, I can figure this out now. And so I think that helped, or maybe collaborating mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. But wound up, I was Got into broadcasting. I was working full time. There was a kids' radio station, Imagination Station, and so I was going to school full time and working full time. I was just like, I want to do this. I don't want to work at Pizza Hut. I mean, I did work at Pizza Hut, but I got my break. I got into television at Channel 30 when they first started, and I read an article that said this is long ago. I'm gonna give away my age. Channel 30. Was going to get the NFL, Fox. They were Fox. Mm-hmm. And Channel 2 was the ABC before they switched.
Yeah.
And I thought, if they're going to have the NFL, they're going to have some local programming. And I sent my letter, and the guy's like, you're the first letter we got. So, yeah.
You're hired.
So, started at Channel 30, and this guy, Gary Whitaker, let me do some reporting and ripping scripts and running teleprompter. And then I went over to 11 for about 6 years, and we got to do it every day and learn it and the School of Hard Knocks. And then I went out to L.A. for about 10 years. I did a couple shows, one on G4 Tech TV. It was called Pulse. It was a weekly gaming lifestyle kind of show. And then I did Offbeat America for HGTV and Travel Channel. And it was traveling the country, finding crazy homes, and people lived in castles and cave homes, and a guy built a roller coaster in his backyard. You know.
How was that?
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun because it's you're going, I'm going to your house where you are. And, you know, like, let me show you this thing that I built that they said I'm crazy or I shouldn't have, or, you know, why would you ever? And then you go and he's got a pirate ship that you can jump off into the pool or whatever. Every week it was like, wow, look how creative and interesting, and people who had the fortitude and grit to push through. So it was, and just seeing the country and it was fantastic. It was the best like 5 year stretch.
How was going from Belleville to LA?
Well, it was a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of an eye opening thing, but I loved California. I loved exploring that. That's such a beautiful state. I had a friend who had lived in LA, the timing of all of it. When I got Pulse, two people who lived out there who let me stay on their couch basically for 6 months. Every week I would fly out and we'd tape Pulse on a Friday and they'd let me stay on, or the air mattress or whatever. And then I'd come back and work at Channel 11 5 days a week. And
wow.
And they were moving right as they were going to move right as I was moving to LA, and they're like, hey, he got a good job and we think we're gonna buy a house. And then I was like, wow, I want the apartment. And so talked the landlords into it, and the guy was who his big role was as Roy on The Office.
Oh yeah, that was your
my friend,
your buddy.
Yeah. Oh. yeah I lived out there, and he was like, you know, struggling actor like everybody. Huh. and he's like, I got this thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, well,
yeah, this will come to nothing.
Yes, that turned out all right, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was, LA was great. I mean, I think the thing I got tired of were the helicopters, because I lived right in the heart of it, right? And, you know, by the La Brea Tar Pits, by the Grove. And mm-hmm. so that's what the police use. And so it's just all the time you would hear the helicopters. And so it's nice to be able to get around. It's nice to have a yard, to have a dog.
We're kind of spoiled, aren't we?
Oh,
yeah.
This is a great town.
Yeah.
This is a great town. And people, if you don't believe it, you need to figure it out and find it, because there's so many wonderful spots here. I think maybe not being from here makes me appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got its issues. Trust me. I see them every day, as do you guys. Yeah. You know. But for the arts, for the sports, the history, the architecture, I feel like if you, you know, you can make it here and do whatever you want to do.
It's such a cliche, but it really is like this well-kept secret.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone nationally thinks St. Louis, they think St. Louis, they think Detroit, they think murder capitals, you know, who's going to win this year.
Or they don't think of it at all.
Or they don't think of it at all.
Right, just fly over country. Yeah.
Yeah. But when people do come here, even celebrities, there have been many celebrities, as you know, Wheels, lots of sports, athletes, professional athletes who just fall in love with it.
They stay. I mean, Ozzie Smith's not from St. Louis. I mean, he had obviously a great career, but like running into the baseball players, the hockey players, I mean, those guys, they're a bunch of guys that grew up in, you know, rural parts of Canada. They love it here. They stayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not, I don't know that I would say that it's only happening here. I'm sure it happens in other places, but there's a reason that they stay,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a reason. You don't stay someplace you don't like when you have options. And when you played a professional sports career for a long time, you've got options.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you made good money. You come from somewhere else. You're probably famous, probably more famous where you come from than you are anywhere else. So it'd be easy to go back home, so to speak.
Yeah.
And there's a reason people stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Patrick Clark here from Channel 11. Check him out at 7 p.m. So what are you doing musically these days?
We're starting to record some stuff. My buddy Joe Bohack is a singer-songwriter, and he and I play as a combo. And then we've got a four-piece as a band with my buddy Kenny and Jimmy. But we're starting to, it's a bunch of stuff we kind of wrote during the pandemic, and we were sending back and forth, and just there, we're in the initial stages of it. I played solo at the art fair, at the St. Louis Art Fair, and I usually do that every year at the HEC tent.
Nice. I've always wanted to do that. I remember being in New Orleans in about 2003. We did a listener cruise, and there was an ice storm, and we got stuck down there for a while. And just going, I'd never been down there, never been on Bourbon Street, and seeing the street performers. And I can play just enough guitar to get away with it, but not well at all. That's not being self-deprecating. That's the truth. But I can sing, and I just, that's one of, it's like, I've never given blood. Because I'm so terrified of it.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I want to play solo somewhere like that. Probably somewhere where no one knows me. Where, you know what I mean? Where it's not like, oh, that's the radio guy.
Yeah.
Where
it's
just, oh, he sucks or he can barely play guitar or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that's, do you have any goals like that where things that scare you that you kind of want to do?
Joe, right before the art fair, the Thursday before, he called and he sounded horrible and he's like, I've got COVID. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So I went through my Rolodex of guys and there were people who I could, and they were all booked. So I was like, all right. You're doing it. Here we go.
And so that is,
I will say what a challenging, freeing thing is. And, you know, once you do it and you're in the thick of it, you're like, oh yeah, I can make my way through this. And, a couple of parlor tricks and sleight of hand and then nobody will know the difference. And, hour or two has passed and, these people are new people. So maybe we'll just repeat that set again.
That's cool. That's very cool. What kind of music do you gravitate towards?
I'm Americana, you know, rock and roll, pop. I'm a child of the 80s.
Yeah, same.
I think the 90s rock is some of the best rock, some of the best songs. I feel like that early 90s. But I like everything. I love big band. I love jazz. I think as a musician, you play everything. Or, you know, we'll do everything from like Ernest Tubb, Thanks a Lot.
Oh, wow.
To Bowie, Let's Dance, but slow it or do it more of a like a ska thing or something. Or just like interpretations of songs.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't want to get too in the weeds here. But as a musician, when you're I like writing songs. But also adding, I know you have to add covers because people are like, well, we don't know any of your stuff. Why do we want to come listen to you? So getting to know the song and like seeing the lyrics and the chords, it's like, oh, whoa, that really, I had no idea that what this song was about. I just sang it. The earworm got me hooked. And
so true. Yeah. I'm the same. Like Wheels is metal all the way.
Yeah.
Not death metal.
No.
But
a little
metal.
Taste of it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit in there.
You'd rather have death metal than pop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like 90s power pop trios, Material Issue, Dada, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I just love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Who Wheels? Who is yours? What is yours?
Like old school?
Who's your go-to? You like to
like the old
to?
School? I don't listen to as much of the older stuff that I mean. I grew up in. So I'm the same as you guys. So like the early stuff was like when AC/DC was a big deal. Judas Priest was a big deal. But then it was Van Halen and all of that through the 80s, and then it just kept getting heavier and heavier. So when new metal came along, it's like, oh, I like Korn. Slipknot, I like a lot. I've seen them live more than anybody else.
Yeah.
And now it's even, like, everything I find now is the newer, the heavier, the better.
Yeah.
All
the
new stuff. Yeah. I just found two new ones this week.
Yeah,
I respect you for that. I don't know what it is with me. I feel like I stopped growing at about 2006, and as far as musically, and I just don't seek it out. I don't know.
That's kind of probably when CDs became less, and it's all now in your smart device.
Yeah.
And so that was the fun of going to a music store and finding and discovering, and now... Get off my lawn.
I'm going to go stand on your lawn. Hang on.
I think I believed it. When someone said, like, you're too old for new music, I'm like, okay, good enough for me. DGS on Camo X. Patrick Clark from Channel 11 News at 7 is here with us, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Just kind of mutual fans of each other's shows. And we're talking, Rach, who's younger than us, remembers like an experimental morning show in the afternoon that you used to do. And she and her friends used to watch it. And I was talking about how I used to do a ripoff of Phil Hendry, who would talk to himself through a phone link and do characters. And I did that for a few months. And I even, I can't believe I had the guts for this one, but before I was in the band, I played 4 Beatles songs, just me, on the radio, playing guitar and singing. I would, and I played 20 years in a very successful professional band after that. I would never do that today. Would never consider it today. I'd quit before I would do that. But it's great being in the creative arts when you're young and dumb.
Yeah.
And you don't know you shouldn't be doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just do it.
Yeah, you just do it.
Just magic, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're just making me think about all these things, or like little twists and turns that you find yourself doing, you know, you're working in different places or whatever. You mentioned that 4 o'clock show. It was so much fun. And I had just come back from L.A. and I thought this was a great opportunity, and we would do so many crazy things. Like, you know, we had my favorite show. We had Theron Denson as the Black Diamond. He's a Neil Diamond singer. And he was on with Harry Shearer and the Roller Derby Girls and the Slew Pep Squad. And
that's a show.
Yeah. And we had like, he sang, we played with him. He sang, they come to America, you know, and the girls are on the skates going by with little American flags. I'm like, this is the greatest show of all time.
Right, right.
Yeah, we don't know. We're going to change things up.
Oh, okay. And now you're like, that's probably a good idea. And that's probably for the best.
Right.
I feel bad for people. I know that you can be creative as an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor. I get that. It's not the sheep and cattle, them and us. But it is a treat to be able to make a living being a pure creative.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that every day. I shoot my own material, not every day, but 3 times a week. I go out with my camera, with my drone. And I get to create something from nothing. I think that, and at the end of the, by 4 or 5 o'clock, whether it's good or bad or otherwise, I made my slot.
It's there.
Yeah. And, I guess there's some sort of gratification of being able to see that, you know, it was like, okay, here's the finished product for my day. And then the icing on the cake is getting to sit and do the 7 o'clock.
So George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine's on next. You hanging? Are you taking off? You
gotta go. I'll hang.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Perfect. Great.
Your eyes give you away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, gang. DGS and Camo X. Happy Friday. Just, God, gorgeous weather out there. I mean, whether you dig the 30s like I do or you dig the 70s, this is kind of the time in St. Louis right now. Just like count to 10, it's going to be butt-ass cold. Patrick Clark is here from Channel 11 News at 7. George Macy's here from St. Louis Magazine. These guys know each other. It's all connected. St. Louis, yeah. Big muckety mucks. George has lost 25 pounds.
Yeah, that's the big news.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
It's no big
deal.
Feels
good.
And you've done it before.
Got more energy. Yeah, I lost 40 pounds before. And let me tell you, it changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, it changes all your blood numbers. It changes all your, you know, anything that's amiss. All of a sudden, it took me off blood pressure medicine.
Yeah.
You know, they say this, and you just have to do it. That's the hard part.
So as a tall, lean, handsome man, have you ever had to fight it?
Oh, my gosh. Every day. Are you kidding me?
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have a gym at work, as George probably knows. I try to do that a couple times a week after, or two or three times if I can afterward. And, you know, if you're around people who are in shape and you know,
everyone around just watching it. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of like, all right. Yeah.
Guess
maybe
I'll do this too.
Yeah. But like me, if you're around people that are eating, you eat.
Sure.
So it's just the opposite. It's everybody else is trying all these foods and shoveling up that. Sure, I'll have that loaf of bread and some more butter.
And
it's all good,
when
though.
You're out working and you're trying a new place and you feel like you got to try stuff, you can't just go in there and eat 500 calories and leave.
No, but that's kind of what you have to do if you want to maintain. I learned that from another food critic. She took two bites. Two bites, two bites, two bites of this, two bites of that. And like, don't get offended. This is just what I do. But she could try and evaluate an entire table of food on the two bite theory, and she was lean and mean. And anyway, it's just hard to do.
Yeah,
especially if you really like what you're eating, which most of the times, you know, it's pretty good food. So
I would think most restaurants would bring you bigger portions because they know you and they want to. Hey, we got to.
Yeah, I got impressed.
That does happen. You'll see it like, boy, that strip steak looks a little bigger than the guys at the next table. And yes, that happens, even though restaurant people say, oh, no, we don't discriminate and we don't give you guys any better food than I think is, you know, they kind of.
Did it kiss your butt pretty good?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna get that job.
Sometimes, yeah. and that's what's uncomfortable about it. That's why I just like to go in and I kind of pull my hat down and sit in the corner. Not that I'm the big like feared critic or anything.
I do that on the east side.
They're like, Mr. Glover, right way this way to the VIP.
Darn it!
Can't pull your hat down far
enough. Champagne room is ready.
Table for two for Wheeler. So what are we talking today?
So, well, we've got all kinds of interesting things. And one of them that seemed to resonate, was the foods you're eating all wrong.
Okay.
Isn't that a good subject?
Yeah, like, I like it.
Okay, I like to know. You'd always like to know how you're screwing up or what you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, here's a couple that people are doing wrong. And I listed a couple, and then I opened it up to some chefs and some of the food writers and came up with some really good stuff. But basically, you know, as far as chopsticks go, most of us use chopsticks for anything kind of Asian, anything, you know, Japanese, sushi or sashimi or nigiri, all that stuff. Is chopstick worthy? And actually, you're not supposed to use chopsticks except for eating rolls and eating nigiri, you know, the rice and fish combo. If it's a piece of sashimi, I'm sorry, you're supposed to use it picking up. See, I don't even know. But you're supposed to use it picking up sashimi and the other, you know, you eat with your hands, and it's just a complicated situation because you want to take, apparently you want to take the fish and rice and you want to turn that upside down and dip that fish ever so slightly into the soy sauce, and you want that soy sauce to hit your tongue first. You want to put the fish down. And I think that's just very interesting. I never thought about that. Mm. So all those kind of things, it's not like horrible if you do, but there are definite ways, better ways to do this.
So if you get a chicken teriyaki, you're not supposed to eat it with chopsticks?
Yeah, those kind of things you can, sure. But some of this, the sushi and the sashimi and the nigiri, no. And I think that's very interesting that you know, a lot of it's finger food. It's supposed to be nigiri.
Do you know that, Rage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could just ask Rage. I don't even need you on the show. She's in Japan half the time.
So, but I always thought I'd see these people eating with their hands. I go, those heathens, those rubes.
Right.
And actually, they were right. So when you get yogurt, do you know all the liquid that's on top? Do you pour that off?
I'm not a big yogurt guy.
Okay.
Talk to her over there.
Well, a lot of people pour that off, and that's where a lot of the nutrients are, and that's where a lot of the goodies are in yogurt. You shouldn't do that. It looks like, oh, it's like separated. I think I want to get rid of it. Leftover pizza, you know, do you put it in the microwave? A lot of people do. Do you eat it cold? A lot of people do. The best way to do it is to reconstitute it in a frying pan. And if
you're
do that,
this, right?
I do that. And the other thing I do is the double technique where you microwave it for like 30 seconds first and then into the broiler.
Yep, that works too.
Yep.
But anyway,
for for like a minute and the cheese gets all crunchy and everything, it's awesome.
But I'm a saute pan kind of guy. You kind of cover it for a minute, then
put
look
a little
at
spray
it
in there. Yeah, yeah.
It's practically as good as it was originally, and sometimes better, because sometimes you'll get those middle pieces of that St. Louis style pizza and it's a little soggy. Well, you can make it better than it was. So those kind of things. I didn't know that a less messy way to eat flatties, you know, the chicken wing flatties. Yeah. People take the bones and twist the bones out of there, and then you've got a boneless chicken wing. Oh. I've never done that. I've never seen people do it, but they said, you know, I've been told by people like, oh, yeah, that's how you eat a flatty chicken wing.
I'd be afraid the vein would come with it.
Fear of the other.
It's like your uncle that shows up at Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, you're like, you're eating the wing and you're having a good time. And you're like, oh, it's vein. There's vein. There's
vein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of those things
flap
in chicken wings, you go, I wish I hadn't seen that.
I'm
just got to eat it real quick. And the other thing, I think we talked about this, cupcakes. People will take a cupcake and cut it in half and take the iced part and flip it over. So you've got kind of a little sandwich with the icing. It makes perfect sense.
It does.
You know, you're not, when you do it, you're not getting it all on your nose. You know, anyway, I just thought that was, you know, some fun stuff. And one of the writers said, you know, my favorite thing to do, or she said, the proper way, of course, to eat bugles is to put them on your 10 fingers like they're little, it's wizard.
Which fingers?
Yeah. But you got to eat those at the same time that you have a Pringles duck face.
Yeah. I thought of that.
I don't know that I've ever had a bugle not off my finger.
Yeah.
That's the only way to consume them.
Yeah. You're like,
right. Yeah. So it's a waste otherwise.
Do you guys also do the Freddy Krueger voice?
I do that at another time.
I've never thought, anyway, that this woman who works for us just came up with some great ones. The Bugles one, and she said, you know, if you're eating St. Louis style pizza, you have to eat, you know, it's a round pizza that's cut into squares, but there are four little, like, mini triangles.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Those must be eaten first.
Oh, absolutely.
She
yes.
says, absolutely. One day,
before you even get a plate out.
No. And again, she's this wonderful writer. I'll just have to, she goes, this can upset the fragile internal balance and has been linked to irritability, pizza dysrhythmia, which I had to look up, and existential malaise. I go, this is why you're a really good food writer, because you come up with stuff like this. So
someone just tell me about how you're supposed to eat pizza upside down so that the toppings hit your tongue.
It's going to fall off.
It's the same thing as whatever has the most flavor should hit your tongue
there
first.
You yeah.
And one of the other guys said, well, when you're putting cheese on a cracker, you don't put it on the top. He goes, you flip that saltine, or you flip the salted part.
So you have the salt first, right?
The salt sets your palate up for the rest of the cheese or the rest of the bite. Anyway, all these things.
Andrew, do you have any of
these?
I have
no idea.
Boy, you know, when you're me, you eat it so fast you don't really notice. I couldn't really tell you which side's first, which side's second.
You're like, pizza has two sides?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a bottom and a top on a cracker?
I had a discussion like this with little Phoebe Glover. We're having cupcakes, and I said, you know, your dad used to eat the paper on these all the time. And she goes, before you'd bake them? I'm like, no, I'm not a circus geek. Do you eat the paper, the cupcakes?
No.
No?
No.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
You ever chewed it for a really long time?
Yes.
I've
gotten that
chewing tobacco.
But then I've spit it out, and it's like, okay, now what do I do with it?
Look at him trying to act like he's all...
Yeah.
He's like, I would
and where
never.
Do I hide it?
Of course not.
And of course, and a hot dog, you know, again, I'm a big Chicago
Me
dog
too.
Eater, and you don't turn a hot dog sideways ever because the goodies spill out. You know, it's goody side up.
Yes.
Always. Even though it's a little bit cumbersome to eat, that's the proper
way.
Or you
put the stuff under the dog and the dog on top.
Yes.
You don't fall out.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I just had a Steve's Chicago dog this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good.
So good.
For real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of fun little things. The other thing I wrote about was, should you eat the rind on cheese? You know, you put your charcuterie board out. What do? You take the rind off? Do you leave it on? Is that another existential? Like, yeah, Patrick Clark scratching his head like,
Is there a rind on American cheese? No.
So, anyway, the answer to that is the rind is edible.
Okay.
In most cases, it's just whether you want to eat it or
not. I usually take it with the rind and then eat around it.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like a loser.
And a lot of people do. But rinds are edible. And it's like, you know, when in doubt, I would serve it with the rind and just say, you know, you can eat this if you want to. You might want to just taste it and try it. You know, if it's Gouda and you've got that wax rind, it's edible. It's just, do you really want to eat it?
I didn't know there was cheese other than Velveeta until I was about 25.
Velveeta would develop a rind.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Like, no, it's,
my
it,
dad would get so
aluminum.
Mad when I would cut that off, when I'd cut the hard part of the Velveeta off.
The outside edge? Yeah, the one that's part of the Velveeta.
Yeah, he gets so mad.
He's like, that's the good stuff.
I'm climbing scaffolds all day so I can climb less. I don't know what to tell you.
So yeah, put the rind, leave the rind on the cheese, and let the customer decide. Which is, you know, I think that's a really smart thing to do. So anyway, little tips from George today.
Patrick, what are your favorite places around town?
Restaurants. Oh, no, you're going to put me on the spot. I'm just trying to think what Meg likes. It's whatever Meg likes, usually. So that's
good man.
Yeah. I'm blanking on everything.
Well, I've got a new place do I have the hat on?
Do I have the rooster hat on?
The
rooster's great.
It was just there this morning. The new Rooster in Clayton opens on Monday, and it is really slick.
Where's that?
It's right across. It's right by the Ritz. It's on the Carondelet Plaza
there. Right there, yeah.
Yeah, it's where a place called White Box Eatery was, if you remember where that was. And it's a huge place. They took over. There was a golf place next door that they took that space over. So it's this giant restaurant, giant breakfast and lunch restaurant. So, again, pretty polished act that the Rooster guys have going. And it opens up on Monday. And it's got the same, you know, the little rooster drawings that the kids in grade school did. Mm-hmm. They've recreated those and actually added more. So it's this charming little place. And some really cool murals in there. And again, St. Louis doesn't have enough breakfast places.
Amen.
I don't know why we've been a brunch town for decades and decades, but never breakfast. It's like, wait, don't you people eat?
And you have to wait so long in line for a good breakfast place.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost prohibitively.
You mean for brunch place?
For brunch place, yeah.
And for breakfast place, you can get in any time. Yeah. But anyway, that's another one of the mysteries of life.
That's George Mahey, and that's Patrick Clark from Channel 11 and 7. Come back anytime, man.
Thank you.
This is a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Just show
great.
Up and hang out.
Corner 17.
Great place.
Great stuff. 251-DGS. It's fun having Patrick in. I could have a different guest in every day like that.
He's really cool.
Yeah, really, really neat. Throwback Thursday and Friday?
Yeah, we're doing it on a Friday. October 18th, back in the day, 126 years ago, in 1898, the American flag was raised in Puerto Rico, symbolizing the fact that our troops had seized control of the island. It happened shortly before the official end of the Spanish-American War in December.
So much I don't know.
I know. There's so many things about history. I'm like, I would have never placed that there. That's why Throwback Thursday on a Friday is so important. You know?
It's like before the Civil War, when we were fighting the Mexican Wars, guys like General Longstreet from the Confederacy were fighting with Grant. And they were buddies. And they were really good friends. And then they end up 5-10 years later fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just like fascinating history.
A lot of them went to like West Point together. And
yes.
Along those lines.
Yeah. Yes.
57 years ago in 1967, Walt Disney's animated classic The Jungle Book was released, featuring the Oscar-nominated song The Bare Necessities. I remember that movie stressing me out as a kid for some reason. It just bothered me that he was living with all the animals.
Shere Khan was...
Yes, I just felt like he was in danger the whole movie, and I was freaking out.
I'm with you.
56 years ago in 1968, John Lennon and Yoko Ono were busted for marijuana possession in London after police found them with 219 grains of cannabis resin during a raid on John's apartment.
Is that a lot or a little? I don't know.
I don't know. When you put it in terms of resin, I really have no idea. 49 years ago in 1975, Paul Simon reunited with Art Garfunkel on SNL. They played My Little Town, their first collaboration since they split up. It was the second episode of SNL's first season.
Cool.
And 47 years ago in 1977, Reggie Jackson earned the nickname Mr. October after hitting 3 home runs in Game 6 of the World Series and carrying the Yankees to another title.
Reggie.
You ever heard of that guy, Kevin?
Yeah. You know, little known thing, I don't think he does it anymore, but for a long time, Reggie was a huge sports talk radio listener.
Oh, cool.
And he would just call stations.
Hmm.
He called my show on the overnights, and we're like, that's not Reggie. There's no way this is Reggie Jackson. Somebody's pranking us. The guy comes on, I'm like, damn it, it's actually Reggie Jackson.
Wow. What do you want to talk about?
Something about the games that night. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was probably playoff time, and we were talking about the games that had just ended. It was really crazy.
Hmm.
Very cool.
That's very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
36 years ago in 1988, Roseanne debuted on ABC. So between the revival and its original run, ABC got 10 seasons out of it. Then, of course, Roseanne tweeted and got killed off the show, and the studio decided to do The Conners without Roseanne Barr.
I've never seen an episode.
Of Roseanne?
No.
I saw the old one, like the original show, like when I was a kid
Roseanne
or young.
Roseanne never appealed to me. I remember seeing her on Johnny Carson and just thinking, no.
I like her old school, like original stand-up made me laugh. Mm. Yeah.
One more throwback Thursday story here. 29 years ago in 1995, Linda McCartney's veggie burgers were recalled in Britain after a study found that the fat content was 20 to 23% instead of the 11% listed on the package.
Linda.
Was this a huge scandal? I mean,
oh, I don't remember it.
The complete sheet is making it seem like it was.
No, I don't remember it at all.
Breaking news.
Mm-mm.
Big time.
Mm-mm.
Okay, one more. 20 years ago in 2004, the reimagined Battlestar Galactica debuted.
Oh, that was a good show.
Cylons.
Yeah, like the old one was good.
Starbuck.
The new one was awesome show. Awesome. I love that one. It was great.
It was just funny the way you said that was awesome.
It was. That was a great show, man. They did a good job.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.